Let's stand this time, and we want to, in reverence to the Word of God, hallelujah, praise the name of the Lord. God is so good all the time. Amen. Amen. Because we treasure the Word, we read in preparation to receive today's message from the Lord. And it's out of John 14, 12. That's where we've been hanging out. John 14, 12. Praise God. Amen. Giving you a moment to get there. Okay. John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. John 14, 12. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have the power to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak, to cause us to come up to a higher level in you, to be more mature, to be more like you in this world, to be lights pointing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we've been talking about, okay, how do you come up to that level? That level seems almost unattainable when you look at it just with your natural eyes, when you look at it just with circumstances. That's why I often say we are not led by circumstances. We are led by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. We're not led by circumstances. Well, if God wants it, it'll be. No, that is not the way we live our lives. We live our lives by faith in what God's word says, and we trust his word over the circumstances. And as we were talking over these last several weeks, we have talked about how God has an answer to coming up. He's got an answer to the come up sense that we all need. We all need to come up to that higher level. Whether you've been saved for 10 days, 10 years, 40 years or more, we all need to come up to a standard and to a place in God that is different than what we have seen. Because what we've seen most of the time, unless you've been able to rub shoulders with some amazing great men of God, for the most part, we see below average and just getting by. God is wanting us to come up to a level in God that is much higher. It's much greater. We most of the time, our examples of who we esteem in the Lord, you know, maybe they've had some miracles in their life. Maybe they had some miracles in their ministry. But God still, he's calling all of us, not just the preachers, not just the teachers, not just the famous evangelists.
Right.
God is calling us to come up to a level that when he says do something, we step out and things happen.
Yes.
We may never be famous. We may never occupy a pulpit, a national pulpit, or a famous pulpit. But we are obedient in those moments to come up.
Yes.
To come up.
That's right.
Now in Revelation chapter 4, that's what God spoke to John and said, come up hither, in the King James Version, come up hither and I'll show you some things. God wants to cause all of us to come up to that higher level. When we think about it, we think about that higher level, so often, you know, we talk ourselves out of it. We talk ourselves out of it and we say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, I've always had an anger problem, so therefore I've got an anger problem. You know, my great uncle had an anger problem. It all got passed down. You're from a different family now.
Amen.
When you've been born again, you do not have to look at all of the past, right? And look at and say, well, that's because of this. No, we stop making excuses. And instead, what we do is we say, Lord, I'm keeping my eyes on you. You are the author and the finisher of my faith.
That's
Revelation 4:1 is where I referenced just a moment ago how John is called up and God speaks to him as Jesus himself speaks to him and says, come up and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Now, I'm using that as a reference for the title of this series that I'm winding up very soon. Whether I finish today or next week, we'll find out. Not next week, but the following week. I want to let you know that God is calling our church to come up. He's calling our church to come up to a different level. And I said that God's answer to accomplishing greater works, God's answer to that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There I said it. You see, there was a time when I was coming up in the things of God. You heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit all the time. You heard about it at almost every church service. You heard about it. There were opportunities for people to be filled with the Spirit. The Full Gospel Businessmen Association International was conducting meetings, and businessmen, as I told you last week, were getting their lives together, their marriages together. They were getting delivered from alcoholism, getting delivered from drugs, getting delivered from things, pornography, etc., etc., and their lives were coming up. And the way it happened was the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And yes, it is not something that is super known in many people's religious upbringing. They said, well, I never heard my priest speak in tongues. I never heard my pastor speak in tongues. And it's because the enemy has tried to rob this amazing gift, has tried to rob it from the church for years. He's done it through false teaching. He's done it through, even during the Reformation time, there was a gentleman by the name of John Calvin who believed in what's known as a cessationist, which means that he believes that all the gifts of the Spirit have ceased to exist. And what's interesting about that is many times they would say, especially in those Reformation times, that when the last apostle died, which would have been John, by the way, that all the gifts of the Spirit would have ceased to exist. That's a sad state of affairs. Because in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit wasn't even dwelling inside of men, God still had healing happening, didn't he? He still had prophecy happening, didn't he? He still had miracles happening, didn't he? Yes. Then why in the world, after Jesus comes, pays the price for us to get to heaven, why would God take away the power? There is no way that that is true. That's a false teaching. I'm just going to call it what it is. It's a false teaching. Because all through the church age, and we can document historical evidence every single century from the time of Jesus ascending into heaven and the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, we have historical record of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every single century, there is evidence, there's testimony, there's diary entries of experiences with God that are certainly not cessationists. It is God moving in his people and not only coming inside, but coming upon. And that's where we talked about last week, how tongues is so important. It's not just not everyone's going to speak in tongues because that's what the Bible says. That is, again, somebody just quoting one little verse and that's it, and only taking it out of context. Okay? Because we know from many different instances in the Word of God that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a second work of grace. If God spoke and told that the disciples should go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of my Father, how much more should we pay attention to some of those things? Now, I've had it on my heart that I believe that if we're going to come up, that we have to be able to explain some of these things to people. And so that's the reason why I'm taking so much time on this subject of maturity. and now specifically on the gifts of the Spirit. And in this case, we're just honing in on the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it has changed lives. It changed my life. It took me, folks, it took me being an introvert and making me more of an extrovert. It will change you. And I'm saying it. He will change you. But the experience will mark you. The experience will mark you and cause you to go higher in God if you stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. So last week I gave you 10 reasons why I believe praying in other tongues is important. First of all, it is the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I did not say only evidence. I said initial evidence because we see that in Scripture in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. They were all there, all of them that were in the upper room. All of them spoke with other tongues. Not just the 12. There were 120 in the upper room. And that may have been just men, because often when they counted, unfortunately, they didn't always count women. So there could have been as many as, say, 200, 220 in that room. Now, we know for sure 120, right? We can stick our stake in the ground, say that's what the word says. I'm not going to add to it. I'm just saying we know from studying that many times they didn't always count women, right? So the first thing was they all spoke with tongues. It is the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling and infilling, I should say. Number two, praying in tongues is a means of spiritual edification. I said the Greek word of edification means to charge up, to cause one to be charged. Just like you charge your battery of your phone or flashlight or whatever you have around the house that's battery powered. Dear Lord, they have battery powered lawnmowers? I don't think so. I don't want one of those. I don't think so. It might be too quiet, but I mean, my lawn, it would literally run out in about 20 minutes, and then I'd have to wait for it to charge up again. And I'm not doing that. Give me gas. Okay. Praying in tongues is a means of spiritual edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4 says, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself." In other words, recharges and refreshes himself. Yep. Number three, tongues.
Okay.
And that's good.
Okay.
Tongues reminds us of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It reminds us of his presence in our lives. And so that's important. That is so important, that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that same verse that I just referenced in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, you can use that as well. And number four, praying in tongues eliminates selfishness in our prayers. What do you mean? Well, I remember when I was first learning about these things and experiencing them, it reminded me of what Romans 8:26 says. The Spirit helps us to pray according to God's will. You want to pray God's perfect will in a situation? Pray in the Holy Ghost. There have been moments in these last couple of years, especially through COVID and everything else that we've gone through, and there have been moments where I didn't know a decision to make. And sometimes when you don't know a decision to make, I guarantee you, if you'll just spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost and then spend some time listening, you are praying God's perfect will in that situation. And I love it because the enemy cannot even eavesdrop. He can't even eavesdrop and know what you're praying about. He can't. He's like, he can't even pick up on what you're praying about, because he doesn't understand tongues of heaven, does he? He does not understand that. So praying in the Spirit helps us to pray according to God's will. Number five, praying in tongues enables us to pray in line with God's perfect will. Again, Romans 8, 26 through 27. In the verse 27 says, the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, just this last weekend, we were at the minister's conference, and Pastor Denise Hagen and Reverend Don Burns, her husband, they were our retreat. Denise Burns, excuse me. Got to say it right. Hagen Burns. She's married, Hagen Burns. So they were up with us in Connecticut at the minister's conference / retreat. And they wanted to go exploring. And her husband, Reverend Don, is, I call him Reverend Don because he is also a licensed minister, but he is also a man who's a businessman. And so he is a real estate guy, and he was just really interested in exploring. Those folks that are into real estate and that's their business, when they go to new places, they like to explore. So he wanted to go to Chappaqua and go around to Armonk. And so, I mean, they drove all the way from Newtown and drove around. And as they were driving up on 684 to come back to the meeting, they heard this pop. And it was, you know, one of those hot days, and it was busy. It was rush hour time.
It was Tuesday.
And it was Tuesday.
The hottest day.
The hottest day. And their tire blew out. On the rental car. And they pulled over, and Reverend Don was jacking up the car and on that hot cement. And he was jacking up the car, and the next thing they heard was another crash. And right in front of them, right next to them was an accident. Somebody was, I guess, paying too much attention to them. And there was an accident right in front of them, and it veered right in front, right across, and just kind of barely just missed them. And, I mean, that was the protection of God, right? And so later on, she is, Pastor Denise is actually sharing with her father how things were going at the retreat. That's Pastor Hagen. That's Brother Hagen's son. He was saying, now, what time was that? He said, well, I just had a thing to pray for you.
A few hours before.
I was just praying for you and Don, and I was specifically praying, and I was praying Psalm 91, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. That's God. It would have hit their car. It would have possibly, you know, injured Reverend Don, who was putting the donut on, you know. And so, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because the Holy Ghost knows things. And he wants to show you things to come. And sometimes he'll have you pray in other tongues and you don't know what you're praying about. And if it happened, I'm talking about this, it's Sunday. This happened Tuesday to people that we personally are connected with. And so I'm telling you that because I want you to know this is every day. This is every day. And if we're going to come up to a higher level, we've got to be sensitive to these things. Praying in tongues stimulates your faith. Number six, and that is Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, often when that term is mentioned in Scripture, praying in the Holy Ghost, it is often referring to praying in other tongues. Number seven, praying in tongues allows us to give thanks a different way, or to give thanks well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 17 says, for thou variously gives thanks well, but the other is not edified. He's talking about when they're praying in other tongues. So Paul's bringing some correction there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he's saying, listen, when you're praying in other tongues, you're giving thanks. That's another way to give thanks. But people are not always edified. people can't always hook up with that if they're new to the church or new to the things of God, right? And then number eight, praying in tongues brings our tongue under control. If you've got a potty mouth, if you have problems with keeping your mouth under control, listen, Christians ought not to have a potty mouth. All right? But if you have trouble keeping your tongue under control, then when you pray in other tongues, it helps bring your tongue under subjection. Right? Because all that is, you know, I've heard people say, well, if they cuss, they ain't a Christian. That's not true. I've heard some Christians cuss, and it's not good, but it doesn't mean they're not Christians. It means they got a flesh problem. They have, their flesh is ruling them, and that's the reason why they let it pop off. So it's really important that we understand that praying in other tongues brings your tongue under control. James 3 talks about the untamable tongue, but praying in the Holy Spirit is a way of yielding this member that can set a forest on fire, James tells us, and you yield this member to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And you pray mysteries, and you pray, and you commune with God, you give thanks well, you charge yourself up. I'm telling you, we have not emphasized enough praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues, number nine, keeps us free from worldly contamination. And that's because you're in communion with the Holy Spirit and your spirit, your regenerated new birth, a new man on the inside spirit, and you are becoming more sensitive to the things that are around you, more sensitive that you're like, no, I don't need to be partaking of that. I need to turn my head here. I need to turn the channel there. I need to not look at that. That's important. So praying in other tongues helps keep you from worldly contamination. Number 10, praying in tongues enables you to pray for the unknown. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. If we're going to come up to the greater works, church, then we have to understand some things. That our growth and development is vitally important. And if we're not filled with the Holy Ghost, I just ask. You don't even have to come to a special service. I've known people that they struggled with understanding some of these things, but when they asked God, they went into their private prayer closet, and then they began to worship God. And they didn't worship him with a known language. And all of a sudden, words started coming out from their belly, not from their mind. And they experienced the Holy Spirit in a vital way, privately, just by themselves. And that's important. Now, we established in this series that in John chapter 20, in verse 21 through 22, that is when the disciples got born again. If the disciples got born again there, why didn't Jesus just send them out right away? They had the Holy Spirit. He said, what do you mean? Well, it tells us in verse 21, Jesus appeared to them and said, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you. And he says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. But why in the world did he then tell them to wait for the power? He told them in Luke 24, wait for the power. In fact, Luke 24 and verse 49, I know I'm rattling off a lot of scriptures. I'm planning on trying to at least have available to you some notes next week that you can, you know, study on your own. Because I want you to learn how to explain this to people. And if you don't know, then you need to know. Because we got to come up since. We got to come up since, right? We got to come up to that higher level. In fact, it said there in verse 49 of Luke chapter 24, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, not in you, but upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was promised after salvation. And that's important for us to understand, because we understand that in Acts chapter 1, it tells us that he told them to wait to receive the power.
Yeah.
And this is important, that they had already received the Spirit, but then he told them to go wait. Now, 500 of them had heard him say that.
Yeah.
Only 120 actually went. Not everybody gets this the first time. That's the reason why Paul could say, is everyone going to speak in tongues? No. Because not everybody is going to grab hold of this truth to help them grow. And it's not a spiritual badge of honor to say, well, I'm better than somebody else who doesn't speak in other tongues. It's not meant to be a prideful thing. In fact, I found out there are many people that you wouldn't even think speak in other tongues. I'm talking about ministers. They're famous. Some of them are famous. And you find out they don't ever teach on it. They never demonstrate it. But you find out that that is very much a part of their life. Very much a part of their life, their Christian life. Because it gives them power to live. Power to live. Amen. Praise God. All right. Praise God. I still got more, but I'm gonna keep on in this vein until the Lord releases me. I get to see you guys again in 2 weeks. Next week, our youth are gonna be bringing the message. But I want you to know how to explain this to somebody, because I feel like, and this is the word the Lord gave me as I was praying about this. We have a lot of people in the church world today. They have no problem with somebody saying, well, yeah, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a charismatic. Well, I'm not, and that's good. I like unity, and I'm good with unity. I can fellowship with anybody. If Jesus is Lord, I can fellowship with anybody. Even if you don't, you could sit there and split hairs and argue doctrine with me and scripture. I'm not going to argue, all right? But I'm just going to tell you right now, if Jesus is your Lord and you believe in the new birth, you're my brother. And we can figure out ways to work together. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to tear you down. I'm going to look for ways I can find a way that I can hook up with you. And that's important. But, you know, I got to tell you that, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people in the church world today. They've not been taught along the lines that I'm teaching you. They don't know how to explain it. They might have had the experience, but they don't know how to explain it, and they don't know how to get somebody else to receive it. If we're going to come up, guess what? You have an assignment. You can help people be endued with power from on high. You can introduce them from what the Bible says, that they can receive the Holy Spirit. If you want some homework, Acts chapter 19, 1 through 6, you can read about some disciples who, they had been baptized. They were believers, because scripture clearly tells us that they were. But they had not received the power from on high. Now, as we read the book of Acts, we realize that sometimes we think all the things happened real quick. It was almost 20 years after the day of Pentecost. They were believers, but they had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when hands were laid upon them, they all spoke with other tongues. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your help. Lord, as we come up to a higher level in you, so that we can be those instruments to individuals that we know, people that we have relationships with, friends, acquaintances, co-workers, as we share the things and the truths of your word. Lord, I thank you that faith rises big on the inside of us. We hear your voice. We don't follow the voice of another. We thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you're watching today online, I feel like everybody here in our place today knows the Lord. But if you don't know him, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Well, the way you get born again is real simple. You believe in your heart. You confess Jesus with your mouth that he's your Lord. You receive that forgiveness by faith. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. What I've been talking about today is the Holy Spirit coming upon you in power. And that's available to you too. And you don't have to wait a long time. All you got to do is ask. And he will fill you with power from on high. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'm going to be available for prayer afterwards if you need special prayer about anything. I'd be happy to pray with you today and just agree with you, minister to you. Don't miss next week with our youth. It's going to be a great time in God. Wednesday nights, we are continuing. We go a little bit deeper. We kind of hit a different shade of meaning on what we're talking about here on Sunday mornings. That's what the Lord's led me to do here recently. I encourage you to tune in to Facebook, 7:30 on Wednesday nights for Foundation Live. It is 30 minutes, and it'll be a blessing to you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We're going up higher. Going up higher. Let's stand our feet. And let's call out and speak over our verse that God has given us. Many years ago, he gave us this verse to help us to pray over our families, our friends, our church right now. Let's all do it together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.